Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
You might have heard of the co-parenting app, Our Family Wizard, but are you aware of what makes this popular app a go-to solution for over 1 million parents and family law practitioners, including myself?
It's the way that Our Family Wizard helps co-parents organize their calendars, expenses, and messages. No more back and forth texting with your ex over who's paying for your kid to give Kaylee, Kyle, Kaden, or whoever a birthday party gift.
That's right, because Our Family Wizard can organize monthly expenses, everything from medical bills to birthday party gifts, and help you send effective and productive messages without the snark. In fact, Our Family Wizard even has a tone meter, a built-in snark detector that will help you tone down your messages.
And although snark can be really fun, it's really expensive and damaging to your mental health and your kids. So save the snark for happy hour with your friends and save the money for the birthday party presents and check out Our Family Wizard.
Our Family Wizard, making co-parenting easier.
The biggest service that we can do to clients is have a good team up.
To me, it's more important to tell them what the why is.
I feel like at the beginning, there's generally a mental health inquisition, truly.
When we have to tell people bad, hard things, the way we do it, I think that's crucial.
The Real Divorce Attorneys of Chicago. We've got a wild crew here tonight, and I apologize in advance for anything and everything that's about to go down.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, we are doing a spin-off series of our show, How Not to Suck at Divorce presents The Real Divorce Attorneys.
Inspired by my love and obsession of the Bravo Network and the Real Housewives franchise, we are bringing you an insider peek into the minds and personalities of four hand-picked phenomenal divorce attorneys.
And naturally, we had to start with our hometown of Chicago. We specifically designed questions with you in mind. When most attorneys do interviews, they talk about the law and other topics that they're interested in. But guess what? Not tonight. This show is intended to help you. Look, all attorneys should know the law. That's a given. But what about their personality? And more importantly, what about their bedside, or should we say tableside, manner?
Your divorce attorney is someone that you're going to be in a long-term relationship with. And guys, let's face it, your ex sucks right now. Do you really want to get into another partnership with someone you can't stand or someone who delivers less than ideal news in like a gruff and aggressive way? Definitely not.
So you deserve someone who knows how to speak to people when they're struggling emotionally and mentally. That's what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, and it wouldn't hurt if they had a sense of humor too, right?
Exactly. So allow us to do the heavy lifting for you. Chicago friends, this one's for you, the real divorce attorneys of Chicago. Oh boy, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Yeah, too bad, girl, because we're already recording.
Friends, please welcome to the How Not to Suck at Divorce stage four of Chicago's top family law attorneys. I have to tell you, I have literally fought with every one that is coming on. But guess what? It's true. But we fight in a respectful manner. And you know what? I still respect all of them. So let me introduce you in alphabetical order. We have Brian Blitz from Berger Schatz.
We have Melissa Caballero Dunn from Merrill Family Law.
Jessica Innerlandi from Schiller, DeCanto & Flecht. And Scott Kramer from Griffin, McCarthy & Rice. Congratulations. You guys are officially the real divorce attorneys of Chicago. Welcome to our show.
Okay. So everyone, those of you listening and those of you playing along with us, the style of this interview will be kind of like a presidential debate meets an episode of Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Now, we are limiting everybody's answers to 45 seconds just to make sure that we can get through everything. We're going to ask you guys some tough questions and some fun questions, and it's gonna be amazing. You ready to roll, everybody?
All right, first up. So let's talk about when that prospective client walks through your door. They're telling you their story about the marriage ending and what they're contemplating as far as moving forward in the divorce process. How do you determine that client is truly ready to move forward with getting divorced versus someone who may not be quite ready? Let's start in alphabetical order. We'll start with you, Brian.
Okay, 45 seconds. Here we go. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I feel like at the beginning, there's generally a mental health inquisition, truly. It's like the first thing that I have to do, because anybody that's been through this before understands that your relationship with your lawyer is a true partnership. And if you're not all in invested in the process, it's not going to go well. So questions about, have you been to counseling? Do you want to go to counseling? Would your spouse go to counseling? Would you consider counseling? Are you in individual therapy? Are you living together? It's all a bit of reality testing to figure out where they are in the process and make sure that they're all in. And if they're not, they can come back another time, truly, because if they're not ready to really engage and be my co-counsel and be my co-pilot, it's not going to work for them. They have to be in command and they have to be ready to go.
I like it. Okay. Melissa, what do you look at? Meaning, what are somebody's tells that they're really ready versus someone who's not ready? Meaning, like, are there things that they say that kind of clue you in one way or another?
You know, sometimes I think that, first of all, I think that as the practitioner or the attorney sitting on the other side of the interview or the consultation, it's not really up to me to decide or know whether they're ready. I think that they're there for information. And if I guide them in the right direction, it'll help prime them to make the decisions that they have to make in a way that makes the most sense for them. But when I hear questions about, you know, what people can do to make their spouse change or make things be different at home, or what do I see in my experience that, you know, can change the dynamics of a marriage, that usually signifies to me that the person that I'm speaking with isn't necessarily ready for the divorce process. And in that case, you know, similar to Brian's line of questioning, I try to guide them towards the more therapeutic side of things and support. So it's never easy to say, but you know, you just try to ask the right questions and help them get to the answers.
I like it. And you know what, for our listeners, Andrea and I always talk about this, which is if you're in a happy marriage or you think you can repair your marriage to be in a happy marriage, we are all for staying married. And any good divorce lawyer should be saying the exact same thing. We always talk about that. Unhappy marriages, that's something completely different. And that's what I want to talk to Jessica about. So Jessica, if someone's showing you that they're truly ready for a divorce, they've maybe tried to work on things, it's just not working, how are you guiding them forward in the process? And what helped you come to that conclusion that, listen, they want a divorce here?
Well, I'm sort of in the Melissa camp about it. I mean, I always start my consultations asking, what can I do to be helpful? And if somebody can articulate what the issue is and what their goal is, to me, that says you're ready. And
you know, in the, today's world, everybody has access to a lot of information. Some of it is not great. Some of it is better. But just the fact that somebody's gone to the effort to look at sort of like, what's the child support statute? What does maintenance look like? That kind of thing. That tells me a lot about when somebody's ready to go. And then, you know, let them guide the conversation. What's your goal? What can I do to help you? Be available. That's kind of how I get people sort of very started in the infancy stages of the engagement.
So, Scott, I want to know this. If someone is showing you that they're kind of like on the fence about getting the divorce, what do you say to them? And what do you direct them to do next? And what gave you that indication that they're really not ready?
I think the ultimate tell in the Zoom era is when they don't turn on their Zoom screen for the entire time. Sorry, I don't want to look at you today. It's like the ultimate in hiding. That's my favorite pandemic tell. Sort of a shutdown mode. But to be honest, Andrew, I think I'm not sure anyone's really ready. I think clients might reach a point where they are ready for the concept of divorce, and they know they want to move forward from being married. But the readiness for the process is a very different thing. And I feel like that's a place where all the attorneys on this call spend a lot of time of just making sure that the client can gently sort of make their way into the waters of being divorced instead of just being thrown right into it.
That's a good one, Scott. And I appreciate everyone's answers, because everyone on this call knows that divorces are super emotional. We all know that way too well. The problem that I know that we are seeing here is that a lot of our clients are functioning from a purely emotional place. But here's the trick, and this is the after dark information that you're getting from divorce lawyers. Sometimes, this is a shocker, their expectations are not that realistic.
Okay. Yes. Hi, client speaking here. And our expectations are not always realistic. And let me shed a little light onto why that is, because we're not the attorneys. We're going through this. These are our lives. And the stakes feel really freaking high to us, because the stakes are really freaking high. We're talking about things like our kids being on the line, our home, our money. So let me frame it up this way. Let's say that a guy walks into your office. This is for everyone here. A guy walks into your office. Let's call this guy Chad. And Chad is really heated. And let's say that Chad is really worked up because his wife, Brenda, wants a divorce. And let's say that Chad is assuming that Brenda's already moved on, and he's really pissed off, right? And he thinks he's going to lose everything. And so he now wants to go to war and make sure that Brenda gets nothing. So here's my question. Not so much what do you say to Chad is what I'm curious about. It's more about how you say this. How do you deliver the information to Chad that you're not going to go to war here, and that you're not going to strip Brenda of everything she has, even though you're really hurting right now? Okay. So I want to know, how are we delivering that information with his unrealistic expectation? Melissa, why don't you take this one first?
So I think you need to let Chad know that stripping Brenda of everything is going to also strip Chad of a lot of money, energy, and time. And you need to let Chad know too that there's only a certain amount of factors that the court's going to consider when navigating this divorce for this family. And do we really want to dig into things that aren't relevant to the court? Of course, they're important to Chad. There's a lot of things that are important to clients that the court isn't going to consider. And I think as the attorneys, it's our job to tell them when something is or isn't relevant, still hear them out when something even isn't relevant, but explain to them why it doesn't apply to what we're doing in court and how it's going to be a waste in time of time and money to go down that path. So I think, kind of centering people on what matters, what the court wants to hear, and how that aligns with their goals is the best way to approach it.
Okay, so let me let you guys in on a secret of Andrea and mine, which is every time we do these, we always talk about Chad and Brenda. damn Chad and Brenda every time.
There's no other couple. Nope. There's no other couple that exists, because in my mind, that's like the quintessential divorce couple. So if someone who's happily married and listening to the show, I don't know why you're doing that, and your names are Chad and Brenda, I got bad news for you. Actually, I've got great news for you, because you are in the best place right now, because we're going to help you through it. But your marriage is not going to last.
That's true.
Sorry.
So,
I'm gonna tell you.
So, Brian, what would you say to Chad?
So, if I were talking to Chad, I would probably shit all over our profession is probably what I would do. And I'll tell you why. We are in a profession that can easily exploit people that are vulnerable, whether they're angry or scared, which it sounds like Chad is both. And I would tell Chad, I'd give him a quick dose of reality with respect to where his own emotional state is, and say, hey, you could go to a lot of people right now that could take advantage of everything that you're thinking right now and make a big mess and make a bunch of money, because that's what our business, you know, a lot of context is about. Certainly a well-deserved poor reputation amongst a lot of people. And that's something that you cannot do and you should not do. So I think that there's just generally a moment of clarity when someone understands that they're acting out of emotion and that they can be completely preyed upon if they're not careful.
Okay. Scott, what are your thoughts on Chad?
If Chad walks into my office, is entirely unreasonable, wants pain, war, and blood, I send him to Morgan Stockstill. Nice talking to you, Chad.
And friends, that's all the time we have for tonight. No. Thanks for being here.
Honestly, Andrea, I think it depends on what someone wants to go to war over in terms of how I'd approach it. And okay, as a starting point, for example, if someone is starting to talk war with kids, there's no place for it. And all of us, if we're doing justice to our job and our role as not just an advocate, but as a problem solver, we're going to try to shift the mentality to what's not just best for their ego, but what's best for their family.
Okay, so I'm shifting to Jessica, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. Chad comes in, he's really unreasonable. It's almost like he's not hearing what you're saying. What do you do, Jess?
The first thing I would probably do is explain the limits of the system. Mm. You know, particularly with the types of cases that, you know, my firm handles and everybody on this podcast handles, you know, our courts really are not equipped to deal with all out war on a expedited basis. It just can't happen. Unless there's, you know, domestic violence or something, you're going to get in line with everybody else. And that includes a whole lot of people who are representing themselves and people who have, at least in the court's eyes, probably bigger problems than you do. So it's going to take a while. And so explaining the limits of the system and the law is the biggest favor you can do when you've got Chad in your office.
I have a follow-up question to this. So I understand everything that everyone just said. I truly do. But, and this is like, whoever wants to chime in can chime in. But I feel like it's so important that the way you deliver the information, right? Because it's just like we've all been in doctor's offices and probably have gotten less than stellar news, right? And it's like the way that the doctor handles it is almost as important as the news itself. So what I'm wondering is, and I guess I'll ask a few of you, Jessica, since you were just the last one answering, is there a way of delivering that still helps Chad feel like he's being heard?
Yeah. I mean, you can start with, look, here's what I can offer you. Here are the tools in my toolbox. If you want to figure out a way to, you know, maximize the money that gets in your pocket, maybe the best way to do that isn't to go to war. Maybe the best way to do it is to call Scott Kramer and have a mediation, because that can be a huge money saver. So yeah, I mean, you offer them whatever the tools are in your toolbox to try to get them to the goal that they want to get to. And very often that is not working their way through the court system. Mm-hmm. So something like ADR, something I can offer you that's going to cost you less money, less emotional pain, less time. That's something that I, you know, often recommend to people who are the Chads of the world.
And Morgan, what are your thoughts on this?
So I think that some people, you have to really gauge where they're at. Some people, it's just not their day. They're not going to hear anything you say whatsoever. But I have a follow-up question that I want to ask Brian. Brian, do you think when somebody is that amped up, do you think it's more favorable to have them one-on-one, face-to-face, or does Zoom do it justice?
I think it's almost always better to have it face-to-face, one-on-one. Especially, I know we're talking about in the early stages of this relationship and you're going into someone's office for the first time. I think it's a mutual size up at the beginning. I would always rather either calm someone down in the scenario that you are discussing right now, or even just meet somebody for the first time. And I will say also, who you are always comes through if you're good at this job in the way that you talk to people. I may not be for everybody. None of you are for everybody. We're good fits for some. We're not good fits for other. But I will say that my clients generally appreciate that I'm blunt in my own way with how I'm going to deliver any kind of news, good or bad. But in an initial consultation, if Chad comes in and he's all heated up, you got to be pretty blunt out of the gates. There's nothing worse than the lawyer that overpromises and underdelivers. And part of our job is to predict an outcome and to level set from the beginning.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, Andrea, when you teed up the question of, is there a way that you can talk to someone when they come in that type of state, I think there's a nugget there for listeners who are interviewing attorneys that's really important. And there's a differentiator in the way the lawyers on this Zoom operate versus a bunch of other lawyers in the community. And it's when they're faced with someone's frustration, anger, and sense of outrage. Do they drum them up and match their sense of anger and talk about how, yes, we are going to get blood and yes, you are going to be victorious? And do they sell you that bridge? Or do they calmly listen, whether blunt or otherwise, and tell you a more balanced view? And like so many other fields in the world, if someone is selling you a bridge, it's time to move on. Ugh. If someone is calmly directing you your options and the pros and cons of those actions, you're in the right place.
I like that. Melissa, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hearing everybody say that I totally agree with is it's all about energy. And like, that's why having somebody in your office face to face for the initial consultation is, I think, a great way to start off in the relationship. But we have to tell people a lot of difficult things all the time. And how you're delivering that to someone is going to control whether or not they hear you. And so even if you're delivering bad news and you're telling Chad things that he doesn't want to hear, if you're doing it in a way that conveys your experience and your confidence, but also your understanding of what he's going through, then, you know, he will probably hear you. If he doesn't hear you, it's probably not a good fit and he can move on to the next office. But, you know, I think when we have to tell people bad, hard things, the way we do it and the way we show them that even though it's bad to them in this moment and it's hard right now in this moment, it can still be okay. And encouraging them to trust you in that, I think that's crucial.
I also think you can't underestimate your clients sometimes. And a lot of times you come from a place of fear that you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how they're going to take this news or how they're going to take this outcome. And the reality is they're stronger than you think a lot of the time. So don't underestimate Chad.
We never do.
Say that again.
We never do.
Yeah, jeez. Mm-hmm. Right? Never underestimate Chad.
Chad's stronger a fighter. Than you think, baby.
He's a fighter.
For the record, so is Brenda, okay?
Damn
Nobody right. puts Brenda in the corner. But girl, don't even get me started
Chad,
on that.
I mean.
So here's the thing, guys. Just like how things went south for Chad and Brenda, things do not always go swimmingly amongst all of you attorneys. So here's another scenario. A prospective client walks in your door, really wants to work with you, loves you, heard you on this podcast, sold, I want you. But here's the thing. Their soon-to-be ex-spouse is being represented by someone whom you do not like and someone whom you don't really work well with. Do you tell the client this? Why would you tell them and why would you not tell them? Brian, you're up.
100% tell them. Mm-hmm. People pay us a lot of money per hour to offer solutions. And you can only move as quickly as your slowest moving part. And I think it is abhorrent when lawyers are the problem stirrers as opposed to the solution providers. And if there's something personal between a lawyer and me, which we all have, I get along with almost everybody, but there is a short list of people that are going to be a problem. And frankly, I'm not offering my best to my client if that's going to be an issue with my involvement. I turn people away sometimes for that reason. I'll introduce them to somebody else. We're from anybody on the Zoom or one of my partners. If my involvement is going to be an impediment to getting them through it, my ego is healthy enough that I don't have to do that.
And just to be clear, are you telling the client the reason? Are you just letting it pass, or are you saying, I'm going to tell you why I'm passing on this?
100% telling them why I'm passing on it. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, it's part of diagnosing their case. It's the cast of characters that's involved. It's an impediment to get them through it. And they need to know early on. I would never want someone to say to me 3 months into the process, I didn't know this lawyer hated your guts. I would have never hired you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm in Brian's camp, but I do know lawyers that feel separate or differently. They don't want to say anything bad about, you know, their short list of people they just can't get along with. But I want to know, Jessica, what do you do in this situation?
Well, I mean, it sort of depends. Like if I'm sort of like Brian, like I get along with almost everybody. If there's somebody I don't like or don't get along with, there's a reason for it. So what I'll usually say instead of like, I hate their guts, even though I may hate their guts, is something like, I just want to let you know that this person on the other side of the case takes completely unreasonable positions. Or I just want you to know that this person on the other side of the case will not settle because they are completely motivated by how much money they're taking out of your pocket. So they've been warned. I mean, frankly, like whatever the personal dynamic is between me and whoever's on the other side that I don't get along with, there's usually a good reason. And to me, the why, that isn't going to change if I hand them over to somebody else and they're with this person on the other side. So to me, it's more important to tell them what the why is that I don't get along with this person. And then they can make their choice. And maybe somebody else would have a totally different perspective on that person and they could hire them. But they need to know why.
Okay, so I'm going to flip the script here. I'm going to talk about something that's kind of controversial here. So there's this misconception out there that if your divorce attorney is really friendly with opposing counsel, that they're sleeping with the enemy. So I know that I have cases with all of you on this Zoom right now. I do. And I have some current cases right now. I've had really tough cases with all of you. And so are we really sleeping with the enemy if, for instance, I like you, Melissa, but I know I can fight with you and still be respectful? I think it's far from the truth personally. I think that it's helpful for a case, but I want to know what your thoughts are and how you explain to your client that your positive working relationship with the other attorney is actually a good thing that can be used for their benefit. Melissa, I'm throwing this one to you.
Yeah, so I am in your camp, Morgan. I think that when the attorneys respect each other and get along and can communicate well, we are doing the best possible job that we can for our clients. We can disagree, we can fight until the cows come home about our positions and what the law says about them. But when we can really talk to each other, that's how we resolve issues and that's how we resolve cases. We may not be able to work everything out by agreement, but again, being able to get people across the finish line isn't just one action. It's so many steps along the way. And when we can do it together and at least take things off the table and help guide our clients and have conversations, that's when we're really doing a solid job for our clients and we're keeping them out of court and we're saving them money.
Okay, I agree with this. Scott, how do you serve this up to a client? If they're saying like, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea because it feels like you're in bed with the enemy.
I think this is one of the most dangerous misconceptions in our field. Mm-hmm. Especially sitting in the seat as a mediator and an attorney. I'm often in the position of assigning or looking for referrals for a team so that each party is represented in the mediation. And I immediately would tell a client that I can tell you how your case is going to go if you tell me what lawyers are on both sides. Your case is going to cost 5 times more, is going to take 5 times as long, and is going to be 10 times as frustrating if the two lawyers do not get along. The biggest service that we can do to clients is have a good team. Easy example from today. I had a case that I was mediating with two good lawyers who have a good working relationship. Solved the entire case in one session, 4 hours. Done. 4 hours.
Wow.
You give me one bad lawyer, that case takes 2 years, not 4 hours.
I agree. One thing I'll add to it too is, you know, we can get frustrated. I think all of us have been probably frustrated with one another on, you know, this podcast tonight. So it happens. But I know no matter how frustrated I am, I will still be able to pick up the cell phone and call the other side and they will probably answer. Or they will respond to my text, even if we got a little fiery with each other, we had to go to court, whatever it is. And that cannot be said to somebody who you don't respect, you don't like, and you don't trust. They're not going to be picking up the phone at that point in time, especially after hours. So I appreciate what both of you said on that.
Okay. I have some very, very good news for all of you. You guys have officially survived the round of the tough questions. So lean back, take a shot, mazel tov to all of you. Now we are entering the rapid fire round. These questions that we're about to throw your way, they're going to come at you fast. And the first two hands up that we see get to answer.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Everyone looks a little scared,
nodding.
But I'm seeing
smiles. I need to see nodding. Everyone's nodding. Okay. Yes. Everybody, yep, I think Brian is sweating.
Terrifying.
Jessica is very calm. She's like, yeah, I was born to do this. Scott, calm. Melissa, ready. Brian, sweating. Okay. Terrifying.
I'm just hoping I don't have an email from Chad waiting for me in my inbox.
Chad and Brenda are coming for everybody. Just get ready. Okay. Morgan, the questions in 5, 4, 3. 2, go.
Brian, best question someone has asked you in a consultation.
I love what would you do if you were me? I love that question. I feel like it's such a human question. Someone can really size me up by how I answer that question. And I think they really want to hear the human answer that I'm going to give them.
Okay, so who else quickly, best question you ever heard in a consultation?
No, I'm calling on people. We got Scott.
I got nothing on this one.
He's got no good questions. Okay.
She's ready.
Genuinely.
She's got some wine. She's ready. Melissa, we're going to you. Yeah. What would you do?
So what would I do or what's the best question?
Well, how about what's the best question?
Best question is always the confirmation that the conversation is confidential and that it's privileged. And then, you know, the things that come after that when people are confirming that with you.
Okay. I want to see hands up. You guys can do this. Okay. The least favorite question to answer. Who's got it? Jessica.
How long is this going to take? How much is it going to cost?
Every single attorney we talk to on this show says the same thing because you can't quantify. You're like, well, let me tell you a story called We Have No Idea.
Let me give you a list of 25 different factors that come into play to answer that question.
Or circling back to our previous question, who is the lawyer on the other side?
Bingo. Uh-huh. Bingo.
Okay. Brian, what was going to be your answer to that? Your least favorite question.
My least favorite question?
Sir.
Are you a bulldog? Are you a fighter? I came to you because I heard that you're really aggressive. Are you really aggressive? You might as well ask me if I'm an idiot. I mean, that question to me is just like an insult to everybody's intelligence. I've got a pretty good answer for it. But I don't like that question. I just always find that question to probably lead to not being necessarily a great fit for that client when they ask that question.
I have to tell you guys, I cringe every time I'm in a popular like Facebook moms group up where I live.
Yeah.
And every time somebody posts, my friend is getting divorced and they need a bulldog. I'm like, oh God.
Dumbest question.
Horrible. Horrible. Okay, Morgan, what you got?
All right. So people want to get to know you and your personalities. And I love that everyone on here is so wonderful, but has totally different personalities. So here's the real question. Where can somebody find you on a Friday night after work? Hands up. All right. We got Brian.
I like to run by myself for like an hour on Friday nights, actually. It's like the one hour a week outside where I'm not near anybody. I'm unplugged. It helps me clear my head going into a weekend. Hour solitude, little sweat, home for a drink with my wife and the dogs.
I like Please it. Tell me that you run in the suit that you're wearing right now with your cute little pocket square flapping in the wind.
I wear a pocket square.
Okay,
when I run.
Good. No matter what. Scott, what are you doing on a Friday night?
Friday night, PJs, sitting on the couch with my wife and watching a 30-minute comedy.
Give me an example of the comedy.
Rinse and repeat. Right now we're on season 4, episode 6 of Schitt's Creek. Oh, and love every minute of it.
Such a good way to zone out. Okay. Friday night's over. We're into the weekend. What's your favorite thing to do during the weekend? Anybody? Bueller. Jessica.
A farmer's market with my mom on Saturday morning. My parents just moved to the Midwest from the East Coast, and I enjoy every minute of spending time with them that I can. So
I love that. Wait, Melissa, I've not heard from you in so long. Melissa, what do you do on the weekends?
I, like Jessica, love the farmer's market as well, but really just unwinding, unplugging a little bit. We all know that in this line of work, there's always some sort of tethering to technology and email, but yoga, spending time with my husband, and just trying to relax for that short window that we finally get some downtime.
Yep. Look at all these successful marriages. What happened to Brenda and Chad? We're going to help them.
Probably because they're not doing yoga together. Maybe if Brenda That's and right. Chad did a little yoga.
They should take up yoga. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so since you are our Chicago real divorce attorneys, we're doing quick rapid fire. I'm starting with Brian, Jessica, Melissa, and then Scott. We're in Chicago. Sox or Cubs? Go, Brian.
Cubs.
Jess?
Cubs.
Melissa?
Cubs.
Scott?
It's probably consistent with the Chicago population. I am our 1 out of 4 White Sox.
Thank God they were represented. I was thinking, oh God, please somebody say Sox. We're going to hear
It's a sad state
so
of affairs
much.
Right now. There'd be a time when I'd have pride in that statement. That time is over.
Well, I'll tell you guys a funny story about that. So I am not a sports person like at all. And when I was living here years ago was when I think the White Sox won like the World Series. I was working downtown. I was doing retail and people were coming in, and I'm not from here. I'm from Texas. People were coming in with like their heavy Chicago accents asking where they can find Sox. What can I get for the Sox? Where are Sox? And I kept sending them up to the 5th floor to hosiery because I had no idea what they were talking about. And people would come up like, no, I want the Sox. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know what's happening. So clearly you guys are in your sports world without me. More important question, hot dog or hot beef? Jessica.
Hot dog, no ketchup.
There you go. Brian.
Beef dipped hot and sweet peppers.
Oh, yes. Melissa.
Hot dog, Chicago style.
Okay, Scott.
Like any good mediator, I'm going to go for both. Hot dogs at Gene and Jude's, and then you can drive a whole 10 minutes and get a beef at Johnny's. It is the best combo in the Chicagoland area.
What a great answer.
Best answer.
This delivery is killing me. I love it. Wait, Morgan, what about you, babe? Hot dog, hot beef.
Oh, hot beef all day long, hot peppers dipped.
Okay. Not mad
what
at that.
What about you?
Girl, none. Burgers. I'm sorry. I am ride or die burgers every day of the week. I don't care for hot dog or hot beef. Sorry.
Okay. Wah-wah. Last question from me for right now. Would anyone put ketchup on their hot dog? This is a Chicago thing. Is anyone putting ketchup on their hot dog here?
Hell no. And by the way, I do understand the dipped beef. What? Not my jam. It's
really?
Wet. Gross. Yes. I don't understand it.
Sloppy. It's awesome.
Wet bread. Who needs it?
Now people from not from the Midwest are really grossed out.
I
They're
know.
Sitting here like, they're really gross.
What is wrong? No wonder Brenda and Chad couldn't make it. They're dripping in their hot beef. They're not doing yoga. Things are just bad all around.
I don't know if you're increasing or decreasing viewership by talking about wet, hot, sloppy beef.
This is our
I think we move on to
show.
The next
this
question
This is exactly
here.
Why everyone's listening. Please. They're talking. They're thinking about their hot beef. They're picturing Brian running in his pocket square where we're all going in the right direction. Okay. Stay with me. Deep breath. I want to hear some crazy divorce stories. So if you can tell me something that will make my head explode, I want to laugh. I want to fall out of my bed right now. What has happened that you have witnessed? Anybody? Scott.
My favorite, and I'm having flashbacks looking at Melissa because it happened to us at the beginning of the pandemic. It's going to hit you, Melissa, when I start. It's called a prove-up hearing. It's the final hearing in a case when the couple gets divorced. And we represent, Melissa's laughing as we're even starting it. This couple's like in their 70s. They've been married a very long time. And when we log on to the Zoom, there's a very professional, experienced judge waiting for us. And Melissa's client is on the Zoom, and you see her little name in the corner. And the name on the screen suggested that Melissa's client was doing some naughty things with her Zoom. And so I, as a good friend to Melissa, I shoot her a text. I said, hey, you might want to let your client know. She might want to change her Zoom name before the judge sees it. And what happens, like any good person who panics, they hit video off. But on Zoom, as we all know, when you hit video off, the name doesn't go away. It gets enormous right in the middle of the screen. Melissa has to then turn her video off because she can't breathe. And suffice it to say, the name in the middle of the screen was not Hot Sloppy Beef.
I'm crying.
Hold on. This is After Hours show. We need the name. We need the name. The name has to be said. What was the name?
You can contact me at skramer at gmrfamilylaw.com. That's skramer at gmrfamilylaw.com.
First person to reach out to Scott for a consultation gets the name.
I completely forgot about that, Scott, until right now.
It's the best.
I just felt like I was back there in that moment when you were describing it, and I was so mortified for my client, and oh my God, yeah. The early days of the Zoom era, what a crazy time.
The Zoom era was so awful. I'll tell you guys, I got divorced during the beginning of the Zoom era. And I'll tell you a super embarrassing story. You guys probably know this person. There's an attorney and mediator out there in our area with the same last name as me, Rappaport. And we were in the same courtroom and I wasn't paying attention. And the judge, it was obviously like her case. And so he's asking her to weigh in on something. I think he's talking to me. So I unmute myself and start weighing in on someone's case. And I'm talking. And the judge was like, I'm sorry. It was so, I can't even remember what I blacked out after that. I was like, oh my God, I got the nervous sweats. I'm like, okay, that was not for me. That was for an actual attorney. Why do I think that a judge is having me weigh in? Hey, you podcaster, what do you have to say about this? Oh my God.
You know how many people I called the fucking idiot when I thought that I was on mute and there was a hot mic? I mean, I can't even tell you. Oh, the fucking idiot. Yeah. Mr. Blitz, you're not on mute. Oh.
Fuck. Yeah.
As long as it's not the judge, you're okay.
Yeah. The judge is probably he's right, but okay, let's move on.
From hot beef to hot mics. Morgan, have you ever had anything wild happen to you?
Oh my gosh. We've seen naked people on Zoom in the last few years. Attorneys that are half dressed. I mean, it is a mess out there. And here's the thing for those listeners. If you're on Zoom, watch your attorneys. See who's dressed well, who looks like a complete mess. That should give an indication of what you're up against. You get on the Zoom, you see who people are, you see how they're respecting the judge and whether they look like a mess. And you know right away whether your attorney is matched up well against the other side. So what I want to say is those answers, those stories were phenomenal, but it wouldn't be a real Divorce Attorneys Chicago episode if we didn't make you at least go out of your comfort zone a little bit and give your rendition of the Real Housewives tagline.
Evil laugh coming from over here. Okay, this is my favorite part. I'm very excited. So for those of you who are not Real Housewives fans, shame on you. You're missing out on excellent entertainment. But I'm going to play you guys a little clip of what we're talking about, because at the very top of every episode of The Real Housewives, each character has a moment and delivers this kind of witty one-liner that gives everybody a taste of their personality. And I'm going to play you guys some examples courtesy of the Bravo Network.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma. And yes, I am a bitch.
You can take all my things and you won't have taken a thing that matters.
The only thing better than having it all is having even more.
If you want a seat at my table, you best mind your manners.
They say talk is cheap, but in Beverly Hills, it can cost you.
I have nothing to hide and nothing to lose, and that makes me dangerous.
When you're the real deal, you don't have to pretend.
Okay. It's a tough act to follow, friends.
All right.
Are we ready?
We're ready. So, all right, let's see what you got. We're starting with Jessica. Okay, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to say your name first, and then you go. Are you ready, Jessica?
I'm ready.
Jessica Innerlandy.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. That applies to water parks and divorces.
That's so good. Okay.
Okay. I got to get my voice on. Scott Kramer.
In an ocean of lawyers, why choose a shark when you can have a fisherman?
Oh, dang.
These are better than I expected. Okay.
That's going to be duds. I was prepared to be like, okay, we're really going to have to help this part. Oh, man, you guys are killing it.
Wow. All right, here we go. Here we go. Melissa Caballero.
Brenda, if you're listening, stop taking Chad's shit and call me.
Amazing.
I can't breathe. And Brian Blitz.
I'm disengaging.
Wow. I mean, if that didn't sell you on some amazing attorneys we have here in Chicago, I don't know what will. This was incredible, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
You guys, that was intense. And I have to let you know, because you're going to be clamoring at the opportunity to get in touch with all of these divine people we spoke to. And guess what? You can do that, because there are going to be direct links of everybody's websites in the show notes of this episode. So don't feel the need to pull your car over and write down anything about they're about to say, because we're going to link it for all of you. And something that we talk about all the time on this show, Morgan, is you don't want to talk to just one attorney.
Right.
So guess what? You can reach out to every single person you heard here tonight. Reach out to them, set up a meeting, get in front of them, and see how you feel. Am I right?
You are right.
I'm right. Okay, friends, I have got to get my kids to bed. One is already asleep on me, and one is still watching YouTube, and I have to go pour myself a drink. So, listeners, we love you. We do this show for you. We are here for you on your good days, on your bad days, and on your really bad days.
And remember, you've got this.
And we've got you.
Good night.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.